You don't have to go to that special finance dealer to get approved. At Blue Water Chrysler, no matter what condition your credit is, they'll get you approved. Visit Moran Blue Water Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 24th Avenue in Fort Gratiot or online at moranbluewatercdjr.com.
Ride the wave to savings with us.
All right, a bright and sunny Friday morning. The St. Clair County Board of Commissioners met last night. Joining us right now is the Commission Chair, Steve Samasco. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've got a lot to talk about. A lot of people showed up to talk last night. That public comment section, it runs longer than the actual meeting, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's an integral part of our meetings. We sometimes they're long, sometimes they're short, but lately we've been getting a lot of public comment, which is part of the process, and we appreciate that.
A lot of it last night centered around animal control. Let's just talk a little bit about what's going on with St. Clair County Animal Control as it pertains to animal control and the Sheriff's Department and how they work together.
Well, the our Corporation Council, I've always told people I'm a lawyer, but I'm not the board's lawyer, and we've had a lot of public interest, I'll say, on both sides, both for and against how the operations are taking place. Mm-hmm. The county board is ultimately supervisory authority over that department. It's not led by an elected official, so it goes under our administrator. And then how they deal with animal control, there are the county commission under state law has no authority, no general police powers, so we have to have enabling legislation, some statute that provides us the ability to have an ordinance. And in this case, it's the dog law of 1919, and it's very specific and it's very limited. And so what happens is what is the scope of the activities of animal control? And over the years, it's developed into something that, to me, was what's called ultra vires. In law school, you learn something outside the enabling legislation, something done without specific authorities called ultra vires. That's a problem. It can lead to legal issues. So I referred it to Fletcher, Gary Fletcher, mm-hmm. to look at it. I said, independent, take a look at this, Gary. He did. He issued a 5-page opinion. And essentially, talked about some attorney general opinions. The county has no authority to adopt an animal control ordinance relating to livestock or poultry, or for animal control officers to lead or investigate criminal violations. I'm reading from his opinion. I brought you a copy. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on. He talks about some recommendations that, we continue operating our animal control shelter under the shelter law and this ordinance that we repeal the prior ordinance because they were outside the authority of the county as currently stated in the most recent iteration of the ordinance. But the ordinance will, have animal control officers assist law enforcement when requested to do so. But MCOL's trained officers will do criminal investigations. That's what's required by law. And then animal control under the ordinance can take possession of animals seized by law enforcement when requested to do so, and assuming they have the space and resources, because, there are limitations what we can do. We don't have to, if we don't have room for something, we can't take it. And then no individual who's not currently an animal control employee will be allowed to participate in law enforcement activities unless requested to do so by an agency. It was discovered through some of the public comment, that volunteers and citizens are going out on what you call raids or enforcement actions by animal control, and that's a very dangerous situation. I don't know if people realize, Robert Silver, a good friend of mine, he was a process server. He was shot in the chest last year serving a piece of paper on a guy's porch because the man was angry, and so we want people to be safe. We want animal control to function within the confines of law. That's my position. There's people last night saying, Samasco's out to get animal control and all that. Couldn't be further from the truth. On one vote, we have a 7-member board, and I think all of us are interested in just conforming animal control to what it is proper under law and coordinate with the sheriff. Sheriff did a fine job explaining. People can go online. His function, his role, he's not taking over animal control. He wants to work with animal control. They will assist and support law enforcement in criminal matters. Fletcher added some civil infraction authority for animal control to actually write some tickets to non-criminalize things so you don't have to criminalize everything through the court system as a misdemeanor or felony charge. You can write tickets for things like stray dogs, barking dogs, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good ordinance. I'm going to support it. I think we've got support on the board for that. We'll listen to public comment. There may be some changes that we need to make, but it's out there for public comment. It's referred to full board. We'll look at it in a couple weeks.
There's work being done on a contract for the medical health officer and medical director. Are those going to remain two separate positions, or are they going to be merged into one?
Well, there's a recommendation from the Advisory Board of Health to combine the positions, and that was from a couple months ago. And it's been they've been very active over there looking at all different issues. And again, there's a division. There's some people that are very supportive of Dr. Nevin and not supportive of Liz King, and there's very other people that are very supportive of Liz King and not at all supportive of Dr. Nevin. But, you know, under the model of the public health code, when you have a medical director and a public health officer, it assumes they're going to partner and collaborate. We're not going to have a house divided and have people, you know. So we had to address that. And, you know, one of the ways, there's only two models. You can either have the medical health officer, which was what Mercantile was. She had the whole thing. Or you can have the split design, which is the medical director and health officer. But that requires a collaboration and partnering and so forth. So I think where we're at now, I think they're working together. The questions I had last night for our administrator was, are they partnering and collaborating, and do you think that they're going to be able to modify the job descriptions and the contracts so that they can work together on this? And to me, when Mercantile was there, I was here in 2010, 2011 when she was hired. It was never had a problem. She ran the whole office. To me, that is a medical office. Public health should be governed by a medical doctor. That's a doctor's office to me. Others say no, it's more of a philosophical, you know, public health entity. So here, with our medical director and our health officer having different philosophical ideas and conflicts, we need to straighten that out. So we say, okay, who's going to lead on medical policy, medical procedure? You know, a special medical specialty judgment, that has to be a doctor. Who's going to do the administration? That's supposed to be the health officer. So I think everyone's going to have both positions. I can't say exactly because we need to deliberate as a public body to do that. But what I sense is that what's coming is they are going to work those differences out. We will have some modifications to some employment contracts, and I think that they're actually got it figured out.
So. Talking with Steve Samasco, the St. Clair County Board of Commissioners Chairman. There's been a lot of discussion about the Community Services Coordinating Body. What is it? Are they subject to Open Meetings Acts and things like that? Where does that group stand right now?
It's surprising the amount of information that one comes across as a county commissioner. It's a huge enterprise. You know, $78 million budget, 1,000 employees. Well, the CSCB is what is it? Okay, people started asking some questions several months ago, and I, quite frankly, was not real familiar with what they did or how they did it. They're not a 501c3. They're not a statutorily based organization. So what they are is a group of individuals that meet informally, like ad hoc. They do have a mission statement. They have a memorandum of understanding or letter of intent for how they operate. But I think they're subject to FOIA and OMA, but I'm not sure. I think their position is that they're not, because they are not a government body. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they don't really they have a budget to cover their employment costs, but they don't really expend money or accept public money for expenditure. That's all done by the various 75 partners who are all public entities who are then subject to FOIA and OMA. It's run kind of not by but under the fiduciary oversight of CMH, which would be Deb Johnson. She's the director. To me, it's kind of like, you know, it's performing a public function. It should be open to open meetings and FOIA. I'm not sure that it is, but I'm not sure if that matters, you know. I'm not sure what the issue is as far as some people say it's a shadow government. They're doing things, you know, untoward or, you know, without exposure to the public. As far as I can tell, I've been on the board since 2007. I've never heard a bad thing about that organization. I'm not sure what they do, but it's a lot of very fine people involved with that, and we certainly don't want to, you know, tip over the cart here on something where there isn't an issue. But maybe we need to look at how it's organized and make it subject to FOIA and OMA officially, and maybe I don't know. Well, that's the best I can tell you. But on the CSCB,
okay, but no action's been taken.
No action's been taken. What happened was, okay, we the county contributes $7,500 as dues, and to me, I said last night, well, we give them a million something towards CMH, okay? Why don't we just, you know, increase the CMH contribution? Because to me, it's kind of run through CMH anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't think the CMH director liked it. No, they need to be separate, and that's why they have this due structure. But we already give them $1 million plus, you know, but no, like, that goes to CMH, mm-hmm. you know. I don't like the ideas of paying dues to NGOs. That's like the dues we paid to EDA. Why are we paying dues to a non-governmental entity that's not governed by public officials, elected officials, subject to FOIA and OMA? That's kind of a bright line test for me. So bring it under CMH and do what you're doing, do what you've always done. Same people, same place. Why not? But That's just my opinion.
We haven't talked about the landfill in a while. What's going on with landfill?
I'm glad you asked about that. We did receive a report March 26th from Civil Environmental Consultants Incorporated. We did an RFP for an independent peer review on evaluation of the landfill and then the septage. You know, deep subject here, right? Mm-hmm. And they came out with a very lengthy, thorough report. It did not address the finances, which a former commissioner wanted and I was interested in. It didn't really address the finances to any degree, but they did conclude that the landfill was well operated, that the odors were from the vacuum system failures that could have been avoided, but, you know, that was the problem with the degraded system. There was the odor problem was from sulfate-contained special waste, Dompar paper mill sludge. The landfill's made improvements on the gas system. The septage application was not a contributor, things of that nature. We can resume septage if we care to under their recommendation. And the CTI, our current landfill engineer firm, did a decent job, that the reasonable level of due care was exhibited and the landfill during and after the odor issue. So we got that out of the way, and so there was maybe this summer we'll be on cruise. We'll get the animal control, the health department, you know, these other things handled and have a nice summer.
Like it'll be good. You have a new administrator controller who has been interim. Is he still interim?
Well, the practice of the board has been, when I was there in 07 and there, they would put it out for bid and ask for people from around the country to apply. We brought people in that to me didn't do near as good job as people like Don Dodge, who was here, born and raised here, did it for 30 years. You know, Tom is local. His family's local. He was the director over a department head over at the juvenile center. And we kind of plucked him from that role like we did with Bill Kaufman from planning. And he's been doing a good job. It's a big step for Tom to go from a one department within the county to administrator of the county. And he's doing a good job. I think we moved it to full board to appoint him. He's temporary. I think we'll make him full time in a couple of weeks. And that's another issue because he doesn't have any help right now. Jenny Posey, who retired, who was mm-hmm. the number two person,
yeah.
hasn't been filled. So he's running the whole show, okay. and he's doing a good job based on, you know, what he's got over there. So,
Steve, I appreciate the updates. Thanks for coming in.
Paul, anytime. Love to talk to you.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Yep. Steve Sabasco from the St. Clair County Board of Commissioners. Let's check weather real quick.